Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The principal temptation that comes in the digital age, I am convinced of, is replacing or substituting or exchanging the trivial for the truly important.
Well, who's got time to listen to that? This is Wretched Radio. Let's get to something frivolous, shall we? Which is basically the age that we are living in.
For example, with the digital age, we often substitute shallow skimming and page hopping for deep thought and focused concentration.
Oh, man, Silla. This is Wretched Radio. Tom Pennington preaching a series, not just one, but a series on the dangers of the internet. So helpful in our day and age, is it not? We all have those little rascals that can demand so much of our time. Hours a day can be consumed, and we persuade ourselves, I'm learning stuff. I'm aware of what's happening. It appears, however, that we aren't taking any time to think deeply. This is something the Bible encourages us to do, to dwell on the Word, to meditate on Scripture, not empty your brain in a yoga mindfulness kind of way. Isn't it funny it's called mindfulness, which is all about just emptying your thoughts? Huh, the irony. Nevertheless, the Bible teaches us, think on these things, dwell on these things, memorize these things, hide God's Word in your heart. Flip, next story. I noticed on my YouTube machine, there's a new button on my phone. It's like a little circle thing with an arrow on it. So you can rewind it 15 seconds or fast forward at 15 seconds. Apparently, that's what we need. It's a little faster. You can listen to things at 2x speed. Because we got to get more. Now, that actually can be very helpful when it comes to listening to some people who maybe don't talk as fast as, I don't know, say, Mike Fabares. I get that. But the point is, we've got these devices where if we're just tired of, next, just amuse me. A number of years ago, a friend of mine who is rather successful in the business world asked me a question. How much time are you taking to think through what you're doing there? And well, that's what I think about. I mean, that's what I... No. He said, when do you ever take time to just get away and think about stuff? And it sounded so completely vague to me. Well, I tried it. I was shocked. I just started to think differently and to put together plans that were bigger and smarter and that were better thought out. I mean, I recognize this is kind of like a business strategy thing, but I think the moral to the story is taking time to think on business things will help you to do business better. If that is the lesser, would it perhaps be true of the greater spiritual things that we take time to ponder? Where am I at? How am I doing? Got a question for you. Do you ever have any sort of skirmish with your spouse? I knew the answer to that question before I asked it. Of course you do. And your spouse says this and you say that. Have you lately taken any time away from your computer or the internet to consider the accusations made against you? I'll bet if you would do that, it would change things. You might just start to see things just better because you take the time to ponder them. How much more value than just seeing the latest dog rescue video, which I have to tell you, I believe has great value because I'm addicted to those things like Cinnabons at a shopping mall. Can't get enough of them. But does it really improve my marriage? Does it make me a better parent? Does it make me a better co-laborer? Probably not. Let's listen to Tom Pennington help us deal with the temptations of the digital age.
The digital age has replaced knowledge with information. In other words, the digital age is really about information, not true knowledge. The founders of Google took their name from a mathematical term, the mathematical term Google, not spelled the way Google the search engine is, but G-O-O-G-O-L. A Google is the number one in mathematics, the number one followed by 100 zeros.
Please, if you have been listening to a lot of end times programs, this has nothing to do with Gog, Magog, or the return of our Lord. So, no numerology, please.
That's how much information the founders of Google plan to catalog. But understand that having information available is not the same as having knowledge.
That's right.
It only has Googles of information available and accessible.
Not only that, it doesn't have wisdom. There's such a massive difference. Learn all kinds of stuff about all kinds of things. Surfacey, I could probably tell you just a little something about, well, virtually everything these days, quickly. Because what do I do? And by the way, Wikipedia, massive source of information. You read the first sentence, you're done. You got everything that you need to know. That's getting a little bit of information. That's really not knowledge, and it certainly isn't wisdom.
The digital age has exchanged a balanced view of reality with self-created reality. Do you understand that whatever you choose to look at and read on the internet, you're going to get more of that? That's how it's shaped. That's how it's framed. There's a sense in which it discovers what you want and feeds you more of that.
Somehow.
Frankly, until all opposing voices are drowned out by the voices you wanted to hear.
People are debating how that's working. All I can tell you is, I was at Walmart a few days ago. We're walking out with 17 things because, you know, we had 17 things because we just went to get the one thing. And that's how
leave
Walmart. Yeah. And as we're walking out, in the background, I hear Rick Astley. That's right. Rick Astley was being played at the Walmart. We're walking into the parking lot, and I decided to treat Mrs. Friel with my Rick Astley impersonation. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. She told me to stop that immediately. Cut
to. She beat me to it.
We get home. And we did this or that. Hours later, I went to turn on my YouTube machine. And guess what video popped up?
Rick Astley.
2019, performing at the Isle of Wight Fest. Isle of Wight, if it's not too dear. Well, there he was singing it. Now, how did that get there? Coincidence? I think not. Nevertheless, they feed you what you like. So interestingly, I don't know how I got there. I truly don't know how any of this works. Apparently, it's like a YouTube feed. It prepares the things that they think that you like and are interested in because of what you have apparently watched before. Well, well, well. Isn't that something? They feed me what they think that I'm desiring. Does that expand or somehow confront my current thinking with other ideas or worldviews? Nope. All I do is get sucked into an echo chamber of things that I find interesting. I wonder, this is speculating, I wonder if the current animosity that exists in this culture, in part, because we know this is light versus darkness, truth versus lies, but nevertheless, that we are so entrenched because we live in an echo chamber, and that goes for every single side, because that's all we hear, because that's all we're fed.
Substituting personal opinion for biblical truth. Now, this takes a couple of forms. First of all, it can mean that you are embracing the mindset of our age as if it were equal to the Word of God. In other words, it's not your opinion, it's somebody else's opinion that you embrace as if it were truth.
Now, I don't know what he's talking about in particular there, but I do know that there are plenty of Christian blogs and websites that are vitriolic, that are downright nasty. They work. They attract attention. They grab you. They bring you in, and you hear it, and you go, yeah, 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 yeah. And what are we feeding ourselves on? somebody else's opinion. The dangers of the internet, even watching a dog video.
In fact, I would argue it happens in subtle ways to all of us. See, the point is you are influenced by what you are repeatedly exposed to in ways you don't even understand. And everything you're exposed to has a philosophy,
yep,
a mindset,
everything.
A worldview. Do you understand that? Everything. It has a worldview. And it is either part of the truth or it is part of the lie. Those are the only options.
Now, some to lesser degrees, some to greater degrees. But I'm telling you, a dog rescue video, I am certain, has a worldview behind it from the creators. Who would tell you that the dogs are extremely valuable? We should spend money and resources to rescue them. Now, whether you agree or disagree with that is not my point. I love dogs. Nevertheless, that is a worldview, and you and I take it in whether we are aware of it or not, which is why I would simply encourage you, you figure this out for you, I figure it out for me, watch your diet and filter everything through the only source of truth, and that is the Bible. This is Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Well done, you. So far, you have given away 500,000 copies of What Time Is Purple? Way to go. See, our goal at Wretched is to give away 1 million copies of What Time Is Purple, and hopefully we've made it easy for you. If you pay for shipping and promise to give them away, it's our pleasure to provide you with up to 50 of these evangelistic booklets at no charge. Just go to wretched.org/purple to get your copies. Now, if you or your organization need more than 50 copies, then you email jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N. jen@wretched.org to make your request, including details, please, on how you plan to distribute them. Now, if you would like to read What Time Is Purple and or receive information on how to distribute this booklet, just go to whattimeispurple.com. To get your free copies of What Time Is Purple to hand out on our way to a million, visit wretched.org/purple for your copies today. That's wretched.org/purple.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
SOS Ministries hopes to see a national movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. And they do that through the local church, community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center, where they thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of that would be possible. Can you help? Go to SOSministries.com.
titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, don't act like you're surprised.
Come on! If there's one thing, you better be singing with me. You better be dancing.
My torture is your torture. Come on. Actually in pretty good voice still.
We're no strangers to love. You know the rules.
Don't worry, he hits that big note later, so I know what you're. I know the smirk on your face, Joseph.
No, you don't. Any other guy,
I just wanna tell you how I feel. Come on, church! Let's see if he's got it this time, Joey. Happy now? That's enough. This is Wretched Radio. What?
I thought he was going to do the whole thing where he starts a line and then lets the crowd finish it for like most of the song. Never gonna. Come on. Never gonna.
Oh, okay. Never Speaking gonna. Of the YouTube thing, I don't know what caused me to. You know what? I think I do know. I don't really care who the singer is. When they get older, I just want to know if they still have their chops. I don't know. It's kind of a fascination.
Can they hit the big one?
Yeah, so I'm flipping through the YouTube thing just to do research for this program, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea why. Tom Jones apparently is one of the judges on the Great British version of The Voice. I think the other one was Jennifer Hudson. I don't know what she was doing there. Nevertheless.
Judging.
Well, I guess we had Simon Cowell, so I think that seems to be somewhat fair. Wow, can she sing? At any rate, this guy was kind of goading Tom Jones to sing. And he did. How old is... Joey, Google Tom... How old is the Tom Jones? Be careful. You're going to get a lot of YouTube videos on him for the rest of your life. I'm telling you.
79.
He's 79 years old? Trust me when I tell you, he still has his chops. He can sing like nobody's business. Even the... I might say he sings as well as, like, I don't know, Rick Astley?
We've known each other for so long. Your heart's been aching, but you're too shy to say it. Inside we both know what's been going on.
Real, when you get to the program! Well, you don't know what's in store for you. You sure you want that?
That is a legitimate question.
One more time. Come on, church!
So would you say being able to sing well at 79 is unusual?
Oh, Delilah. My. Look at you, Joey, with your Tom Jones reference.
Thank you. I'm just telling you,
he sounded actually quite amazing. Am I a fan of the Tom Jones? No. A little bit before my time. Now, Tony... He was like right in your sweet spot, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's a little past mine, but I still like him.
Shall we? One-third of millennials. We're going to just stay on this subject because this is a generation that is lost. It is lost. It is lost. How do I know that it's lost? Well, for instance, the millennial generation, just consider the people who are making their music. They don't have things like this.
Okay, that's a plus or a minus?
One-third of millennials are in debt after spending too much money on weddings. What? That tells me, look, it's not the wedding issue. It just tells me that maybe millennials don't have a lot of money in the bank. The research from U.S. and U.K. short-term housing platform Spare Room, roommate matching site is what it is, found that 1 in 6 people have moved out of their rental due to costs. The average person is spending at least $475 attending a wedding. What?
Wait, try that again.
400, you heard me. 470.
Attending a wedding?
Yes. Now,
wow.
Okay, now I could understand. All right, like let's just say the bride and groom, they were going to charge for the wedding because the entertainment at the reception was Rick Astley.
You know he was 19 when he sang that song originally?
No, I didn't.
I think so. He was very young.
$475 on a wedding.
You figure $100 on a gift, depending on what you want to spend. People these days might spend.
You could easily do $100.
You have to buy an outfit or parts of your outfit, maybe airfare, hotel.
$100 a gift.
I'm just throwing number. I'm spitballing.
So I'm not inviting you to the grandkids' wedding, is what you're saying.
You would think that I was stuck in the 80s or something.
Here we go.
Yep. An overwhelming 61% of millennials, $100 for a gift.
I'm just spitballing. I don't spend that. I can't afford
it. Well, you tossed it out like you were Diamond Jim.
I usually give him Diamond like Joe. A set of sponges, or like I'll get a set of sponges and I'll open it and give one to each wedding.
Just give him the cash. That's what you should. Just give him the cash money. And whatever you do, don't re-gift, because that can be embarrassing if you discover there was actually a card written to you inside of the box when you re-gift it. And
not
I'm
that
just
that's
saying
happened.
That because I've read stories about such things. An overwhelming 61% of millennials claimed they had lost friends after turning down their wedding due to budgeting. Well, that's a close friendship right there. You can't afford to come to my wedding?
You're out.
You're dead to me. The research indicates millennials, perhaps, another sign that they are hurting, which is another reason we want to reach them. I cannot wait to show you Road Trip to Truth. We have been working on this program, and it is, we've got one more round of stand-ups to do with John Fabarez. That's not how you pronounce his name if you're from
Fabare.
Jersey. No, that's Nanette.
The egg?
Fabare. If I'm not, no, that's something completely different. No. Fabare is how you say it in New Zealand, apparently, because that's what my telephone is set on. I've got a New Zealand voice, which doesn't always help me find the location of the place I'm looking for because of the pronunciation.
I tried that, but it expected me to speak in the same accent.
Exactly my point. And sometimes you give the address, and they didn't hear it the same way. And the next thing you know, you're 18 hours into what should have been a 20-minute drive because, well, I'm just saying, somebody might not have the sense.
You find yourself in Wittenberga?
To turn... You know what, Joey? Ooh. That was cool, and I think you know. What? I think in good Christian form, I'm gonna have to retaliate for that.
I'm so old. I played this when it was a hit.
Busting a move over there.
You thought it was retaliation, but you played directly into my hands.
You guys think way too much about this.
No, I think what we get here now is like a two-minute riff on the chorus to extend the song to 5 minutes and 5 seconds, not the same length as the original version. So the Road Trip to Truth, we've got to have John come back and do some stand-ups, the topping and tailing stuff. But we've got most of the stuff put together. I'm telling you, it is going to be so helpful. And I'm very excited about turning it into a Sunday school curriculum, a youth group curriculum. I think that is where it is going to have some major impact, not just on social media. I'm persuaded millions of people will watch it, little snippets here, there, the whole thing. But this TV program is going to be a Sunday school curriculum for youth in preparation for the university where they go off and say, bye-bye, mom and dad's faith. Because they never were confronted with the things that they get slammed with at the university. Speaking of which, as long as I brought up this subject, let me see if I can find an email that was sent to me last week, if I recall. Yep. Last week, I mentioned I received an email from somebody who said, I thought you were kind of overstating the temptations that we'd be hit with on university campuses. He said, they're understated. You cannot overstate the temptations that whack these freshmen when they hit the campus. The sex, the drugs, the rock and roll. Another email. I'll leave the person's name out. I'm a student at a relatively conservative college in a very conservative part of the country. I'm thinking Bible Belt. I wanted to write regarding indoctrination on campus. you talk about it somewhat often, and I'd like to say how true it is. I'm a biology major, and despite having a chapter on evolution in every science class, it is also mandatory that all biology students take the class specifically about it. Yipper. This is what we have learned in just the first week and a half of class. He provided the list for us. Evolution is a fact all biologists agree on. Not true. Religion and evolution. They learn Judeo-Christian belief is strictly uniformitarian. A history of creation-related court cases in the U.S. showing that creation science isn't science at all and violates the separation of church and state. What they're learning at the university. A vitriolic and pseudoscientific essay by Neil deGrasse Tyson, ridiculing anyone who believes in any sort of intelligent design, and especially those who believe in God as shown in the Bible, titled On the Perimeter of Ignorance. What is going on at university campuses? Indoctrination deluxe. Can't wait to show you how we are going to reach them. By the way, if you'd like to support that effort, we'd be grateful. Wretched.org/donate. One of the things that I think that we're going to try to accomplish in that TV series is how do you get that bad thinking, those tapes that have been laid down, out of their brains? Well, clearly, this is how.
We've known each other.
This is Wretched Radio.
Your heart's been aching, you're too shy.
Does your church have a passion to see souls saved, but you don't know where to start? HeartsForTheLost.com. Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They will fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar, and then they will go out into the streets with you to put what you've learned into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or schedule your conference, go to HeartsForTheLost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. Prayer list out. Morningstar News is reporting that police in Lahore, Pakistan, tortured to death a Christian father of two young sons. According to Sunny Masih, officers on August 28th illegally detained his 28-year-old brother Amir on a charge of theft and tortured him for 4 days before he eventually died in hospital on September 2nd. After filing an application with police on August 31st alleging forced disappearance of Amir, relatives were informed he had been taken into custody by a sub-inspector identified only as Zeeshan in connection with a theft case. Their repeated attempts to meet with the sub-inspector were blocked. The family didn't know of Amir's whereabouts until an officer phoned Sunny Masih on September 2nd, telling him his brother wasn't well and they should come and take him to the hospital. According to Sunny, they rushed to the police station and were handed a semi-conscious Amir. Quote, he was beaten up mercilessly and his body was full of bruises. While we were taking him to the hospital, Amir told us that Inspector Nasir Baig, Sub-Inspector Zeeshan, and four unidentified constables had tortured him continuously for 4 days. Amir died in hospital a couple of hours after arriving. After news of the killing and custody spread on mainstream and social media, the Punjab Inspector General ordered registration of a case against the inspector, the sub-inspector, and four other police officers and ordered a detailed report on the case. Police have taken Baig and Zeeshan into custody, but the four other officers are still at large, and according to Sunny Masih, no serious efforts being made to arrest them. Both the Punjab Minister for Minorities and the Minister of Human Rights say that they are making efforts to ensure justice for the grieving family. Both officials are Christians. Pakistan ranks fifth on Open Doors 2019 World Watch List, and on November 28th of 2018, the U.S. added Pakistan to its blacklist of countries that violate religious freedom. And we keep praying for our brothers and sisters. Wake County's Heritage High School has withdrawn a diversity inventory worksheet that asks students personal questions about not only their gender, sexuality, and religion, but also about their teachers, friends, and authority figures. The teacher then asks students to stand beside posters based on the questions that make them feel the most privileged. Have no idea who thought that was a good idea. Many people on both sides believe the inventory to be inappropriate. NC Values is threatening to take legal action against the district, saying the diversity inventory intentionally disregards U.S. Code 1232H, the protection of pupil rights that explicitly prohibits students from requiring to submit to a survey analysis or evaluation that reveals private sexual identity, religious, and privileged information without the prior consent of a parent or guardian. No idea who thought that would be a good idea. The school district still wants to encourage further discussion. Of course they do. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please, you act all surprised. Years old.
79, okay.
Nevertheless.
So whatever happened to Engelbert Humperdinck?
He didn't get the gig on The Voice.
Yeah.
Hits the big note. Amazing. This is Wretched Radio. Sorry, kind of find myself cheering for the old guys.
Engelbert is 83 and touring, apparently.
No.
Wow.
He put out an album with songs written by Ed Sheeran and Bruno Mars.
Oh.
Or, doing covers of their songs.
Oh, good. So Engelbert Humperdinck is doing Uptown Funk, is what you're telling me.
No, Just the Way You Are, and what was the other one? Photograph by Ed Sheeran.
I'm just going to have to go floss my brain on that one. Speaking of, it's not unusual to be loved. From Nicholas Batzig, Three Family Graces. This is what a home should be filled with. And please note, if your home is not filled with this, your kids will find it elsewhere. From your Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. If you can get these three commands down, or at least be striving to be obedient to these commands, your house will change on a dime. Guaranteed. Why? Because this is the biblical formula. This is the way the universe operates best. When God lays down a principle, a rule, a command, and we obey it, it is inevitably going to go righter. It's like the book of Proverbs. It's not a guarantee that if you do everything in the book of Proverbs that you will never have any sorrow, misery, grief, problems, or pain. But overall, you follow those Proverbs, and your life is overall, it's going to go better for you. Why? Because it's God's wisdom applied. It's the way the universe was made. And any time we go outside of it, you're bound to feel pain. You're bound to feel the sting of it. So if your family is not marked with kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness toward one another, it ain't working so well, is it? A man may have a head full of knowledge about the Bible, but if he does not have kindness and mercy in his heart, he is not a justified man. True kindness will inevitably lead on to tender-heartedness. Sadly, many in theologically strong churches view tender-heartedness as a weakness. That's true, isn't it? It's hard to be nice when you're right about everything. Trust me, I know. Being puffed up with knowledge you have to war against it. Knowledge puffs up. That's what it just does. It's sort of like a medication. Side effects may include, and then they go on to gangrene. Your head may fall off. Your feet will explode. Things like that. This is just the consequence of knowledge, and not the way that it was originally intended. God isn't that way, but we can be that way, and we can view being thoughtful, sensitive, nice, understanding, compromising. That is not wisdom. That's immaturity. And I can point my finger at myself because I can do that so easily. I think part of it is that I've simply been trained by watching too much news. The debate stuff on, you give an inch and you are seen as a compromiser. Say something nice about the opponent and you are sold out to the dark side. It's not true at all. Some wrongly conclude that tenderheartedness is tantamount to unbiblical compromise, whereas others mistakenly chalk it up to being uncourageous softness. Now, there is absolutely a time to be bold. In fact, we probably need more boldness these days, so often. But that doesn't mean that we can't ever be tenderhearted in issues, especially when it comes to issues of the home. We're putting together drive-by false teaching. In fact, Joey, I do believe we're going to have that bad boy done today. Correct?
Your part. There's a little more that
I'm actually just surprised you responded. I thought for sure you were looking up Engelbert Humperdinck. Or
no,
are
I'm
you?
No,
you're done with that. You're done. I am so done with 83 and he's touring. Oh, man. What does that look like? I sure hope he's moderated that whole sex symbol thing that he... I hope he's moderated that anyway. But the point is, we are not compromising when we are simply being kind and nice. But that isn't always the way that we think these things through. Phil Johnson, in Drive-By False Teaching, regularly says the conclusion, it's a bunch of his different presentations on different theological heresies throughout the ages. Let us be men who stand for the truth. There is a time for that, and we need more of that, don't we, to speak out and say, no, that is just wrong. No, that is damnably wrong. And that is wickedly wrong. We need that these days. You know, this gentle talk about prosperity preaching. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many people are kept in bondage to that system because they keep giving their money, hoping that it's going to be like they're finally going to get three cherries and the lottery is the money is just going to come pouring out of the machine? They treat their faith and their God like a one-armed bandit, and they continue to spend money. That's not nice. That's cruel teaching. And so is the health portion of the health and wealth gospel. Believe, and you'll be healed. And if you're not, what's wrong with you, Pally? How cruel is that? That's just staggeringly cruel. And we don't want to talk out about it, so there is a time for that boldness. I think it's Rick Thomas. I remember the first time I heard this, I just went, I don't like that Jesus is a warrior. We like that part. Poet. Okay, hold on. Don't give me more of that sissified Jesus. It's not sissifying. He was tenderhearted. He is sympathetic, and he's that way toward us. Have we forgotten that he treats us that way? Isn't it funny that you do things alone that you don't do around other people? Why? Maybe embarrassing? Maybe people are going to think poorly of you, and yet you are fully aware that God is watching you in that moment. Why do you feel comfortable doing that thing? Why? Because you know that your God is tenderhearted, and he's not going to mock you and tease you like human beings would. Have we forgotten that our God is tenderhearted and that we should be too? Times to fight. Overall, probably more tenderhearted. Jesus Christ did not come. This is from Nicholas Batzig, feedingonchrist.com. Jesus Christ did not come to break a bruised reed. He didn't come into the world to quench a smoldering wick. That would be your Isaiah 42:3. Jesus came into this world to redeem people who are weak, sinful, wayward, unrighteous, and lost. He came to bear up his own in his arms. He is full of compassion and tender kindness to those he came to redeem. Question for you. Is your house marked with that tenderheartedness? If not, might I suggest you've got some repenting to do. And if you struggle in that area, and who of us do not, who should we study? A sissy pants? No. We should study our Savior, who was tenderhearted. Tenderhearted does not mean weak. Tenderhearted means tenderhearted, kindly, and dealing with different situations in different ways at different times. And there's just a smart way to deal with some people. Or I'm telling you, this is something I'm trying to get my hands around. I can't figure this out. This statement might make you bristle. Do you know who I believe is what generation is better at being tenderhearted? Baby boomers. What are all the generation? What are the ones before that?
We old codgers are boomers.
There's the greatest generation, boomers.
Okay, the greatest generation, baby boomers, millennials, Gen X, Gen Z, whatever. In my estimation.
Gen X, millennials, Gen Z.
Okay, fine. Which generation is best at being tenderhearted? I think it's the younger generation. That's what I think. The way they talk to one another, it's rarely are they nasty and snide and sharp and pugnacious in any way. Even when they say things that are pretty sharp, it is delivered in a much more tender package than I think other generations. That's my estimation. And I think that is actually quite a good trait that I don't possess so much unless I try really hard. And the only way to get changed is by studying the one who is best at being tender-hearted, Jesus himself. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. We are always glad when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. If you would like to know more of true and false conversions, you would like our booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? A booklet about the two types of professing Christians, good fish and rotten fish. The good fish are genuine believers. The rotten fish, those who have claimed to be Christian, but really aren't. Great booklet to be absolutely certain you're a good fish. And it may give you insight into why someone would become a rotten fish. To get your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish, go to wretched.org/fish. Wretched.org/fish. Jesus was relentless about the subject of true and false conversions. You know the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. Visit wretched.org/fish and get your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish today. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If any of you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
You, pardon me, you. No, don't turn around. I'm talking to you. Would you consider becoming a monthly gospel partner if you're not already? Every dollar you give helps Wretched reach thousands with the gospel and helps keep the lights on around here. So if you want people to hear the gospel and you want to keep us out of the dark, please support Wretched by becoming a monthly gospel partner. There's a joke here now about the lights turning off, but it's radio. Without your consistent financial support, Wretched couldn't do what we do, like distribute 1 million copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple, or film a new show called Road Trip to Truth with host John Fabares. If you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. We are extremely grateful for every dollar you have given. And if you're not, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? The more our gospel partners give to us, the more we are able to give away. Visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, Do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on His word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Really? Really? You think I'm that predictable? This is Wretched Radio. I know what you thought. We're going to come back and I'm going to play Engelbert Humperdinck. Well, I didn't, did I?
Couldn't find it, huh?
Yeah, no, I got it now. Although, can I just tell you, my dear older brother, should you happen to be a performer, should you happen to go out in public, even in private, please button up your shirt, please. We don't need to see your jewelry. It's your age, or frankly, any age for that matter. This is Wretched Radio. Speaking of being old, from Grace Gems, if you don't get these bad boys, I sure would encourage you to do that, gracegems.org. Every day they will send you a beauty like this. This will change your thinking on lots of things. Question, what is on your bucket list? What's the stuff you've got to do? I've actually pondered this. I wouldn't say that it's a sin to create a bucket list. It would be nice to be able to before I die. I get that. And I don't think that is innately sinful, but if there is bad theology attached to it, like, I got to get everything in now because this is the best that it's going to be, then chances are you're going to a really bad church. And you think that you're going to be living your best life now, or you got to give it a go because the life after is not going to be better than this. It's going to be so much better. It will be so much more profound than anything. We can't grasp it. I always think of when you are confronted with something that takes your breath away, besides Berlin taking your breath away, that's just an eternity of because I don't think that we will ever get to the bottom of being amazed by God. We're so far away from what he is. I mean, we're never going to, even though we are divine partakers, we're never going to become little gods like some false teachers spew. We do get to sit in the heavenly places with him, though, and he is going to be our God, and we are going to be his people. That we are the bride of Christ that have been purchased at no small price to be delivered to his son, so that he can be the Lamb who reigns forever and ever and ever, being glorified by having an assembling of rotten, filthy, sinful, disgusting, awful, terrible, wicked, perverted, bottom-of-the-barrel sinners as his purified bride. How can you not gasp at one who does that? I think heaven is going to be an eternity of gasps. And if you think, I better get the good stuff in before I get there, I think that maybe you would do well to spend more time thinking about what you're going to get there. So that if you create a bucket list, it's something that doesn't border on idolatrous with really bad theology that thinks the here and now is better than the then and thereafter, or whatever other preposition, adverb I'm supposed to be using to describe it. From gracegems.org, such is the mindset of worldly people who have minimal hopes for a glorious eternal life. I got to go to name a place. I've got to see for instance, there might be somebody who has on their bucket list, I got to see Engelbert Humperdinck. It is possible.
See you and your Spanish eyes will wait for me.
All I can say is you better hurry. Okay, just one more note to my elder brother. If you're going to dance in public, but just not like this, please.
Blue, Spanish eyes.
The Christian looks at life. Got a new diet program for you. The Christian looks at life much differently. As he ponders his life, he sees many tokens of God's goodness to him and has a fond remembrance of much of his past. But he does not consider that his good times are coming to an end. He does not dread death and privately fear that will bring an end to all pleasure. On the contrary, he expects death to bring him into the presence of his beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was reading something somewhere, and it was about preparing. It was J.C. Ryle. It was Puritan J.C. Ryle, probably the last of the Puritan. Okay, some guys are puritanical these days even, but for the most part, he's considered one of the last of the Puritans, died in 1900. That talking about a man who knew that he was going to die, and so he spent his last months knowing that there no more intercession, no more medical treatment, No more soothing. It's coming. The end is near. And he was preparing himself for it. Because even then, when the time when you're on your deathbed, when you're not going to be able to even pray, you maybe won't even be able to hear the songs that your family is playing for you to comfort you in your death room. You're done. While still alive, you're done. He was preparing himself for that moment, and he did, by immersing himself in the Word, and by studying more about his Savior, knowing that he would take him by the hand and carry him through that portal of death which he himself had already passed through, so that when the time came, it was sweet. It wasn't terrifying. It was sweet. It wasn't just out of, I'm just tired and I'm done. Good, I'm dead. No, it was sweet because of preparation for it. That should be our life. That we are being fitted for heaven. That is what God does. The Puritans talked about that a lot, being fitted for heaven. And J.C. Ryle encouraged his hearers, get yourself ready now. Don't wait for the diagnosis. Don't wait for the machine to stop keeping you alive. Now, get ready now. Besides, isn't it the sweetest thing that you could be doing now? Death will bring about the fulfillment of long-cherished dreams, if you've got them. Death will bring an end to your transgressions. Anybody else looking forward to that? Death will bring perfect holiness. Death will mean paradise. Consequently, the Christian feels no need to cram his retirement years with various trips and experiences before it's too late. You want to take a trip? That's fine. That's not the point. It's cramming. My luck. I got to get it in. Otherwise, my life was a failure. That's the attitude that this grace gem is after. With respect to the beauty of the earth, the Christian knows he will have all eternity to explore a new earth that will far exceed the current one in beauty and majesty. It's going to be better. And we're going to be experiencing God even more than Adam and Eve ever could. A Christian's bucket list does not consist of worldly pleasures, but on scriptural imperatives such as to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is our proper act of worship. I was talking to Josh Bice at the G3 conference. The theme for G3 next year is worship. I said, does anybody have Romans 12, 1 through 2 yet for their sermon text? And Josh said, I'm trying to think of anybody who didn't request that verse. Our life is worship. Worship is great. Worship on Sunday morning is great. But waking up in the morning, before you go to what you think is a tedious job, just received an email from a woman in Great Britain in London. And she said, I just wish God would give me a job where I can serve him more. That is to not understand vocation, and that you can serve your God, whatever your secular job is. It is an act of worship. Milking cows is an act of worship. The world might forget how many udders you tugged, but when it is done for the Lord, he doesn't. That is life is an act of worship. Just try that tomorrow morning. Wake up, and before you put your tootsies on the ground, Lord, this is for you. Every step I'm going to take today, this is for you. Everything that I will put my hands toward, it is for you. By the way, that'll help keep you from sinning, by the way. Because as you're tempted to perhaps put your hands to something they shouldn't, like a keyboard with images. I'm not See, now here would be a case in point. My hand is on the keyboard, and I should not press this button.
Teardrops are falling from your Spanish eyes.
But I gave in to temptation. When I remember my day is an act of worship, it keeps you from sinning. Make it your goal to please Him. Philippians 3, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm doing here. Take a trip, but don't make it an idol. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, knowing that our worship there will be even better than an Engelbert Humperdinck concert.
Please.
Oh, Lord. Not that heartbeat. Oh, until tomorrow, go serve your King.